I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, page 839 in your red pew Bibles. We continue the story that we looked at last week with the parable of the sower. Whenever I see, I envision Jesus teaching the disciples, I'm reminded of a meme that I saw one time going around the internet, and it's a picture of Jesus teaching, and then the disciples are all there listening, and one of the disciples has his hands raised, and he asked Jesus, "Is this going to be on the test?" You know, which just brings back memories from school, and Jesus' way of saying, "Yeah, this is going to be on the test," is when he says, last week that we looked at, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Pay attention, listen up, this is going to be on the test. And last week, as we looked at the parable of the sower, one of the things that Jesus emphasized was the importance of hearing the word of God, putting it into practice, and becoming fruitful for God's kingdom, for the kingdom of God. We talked about becoming a mature Christian. And so Luke continues the theme this week of listening and obeying these words of Jesus. And the way he does it is he draws from other sayings and other stories of Jesus. You have to remember, Luke is an editor. He's writing with a point in mind. It's not like Jesus said these things all in a row. Luke is bringing these things together to make a point. And what we get here is kind of a mashup. If you're not familiar with what a mashup in the music world is usually a song created by blending two or more other songs. What you'll do is you'll take the vocals of one song and put it on the instrumental track of another song, and then maybe alter the tempo or the key, change the key as necessary. That's called a mashup. And so that's kind of what Luke is doing here. He's combining these different sayings, these different stories of Jesus, to emphasize one particular point, and that is the importance of listening to and obeying the words of Jesus. So we're going to kick off in verse 16. Let's start in verse 16, right after what we had last week, the parable of the sower. Before we do, let's pray, okay? I've got to clear my throat, too. So maybe grab my water while I'm at it. Okay. See? It's contagious. I know. I hate to put that there because I know I'm going to knock it off. I get so excited knocking it off. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to gather here together and to worship you and then to open up your word and to study it. And Lord, we don't want to be so bold to think we know exactly what it says. So we will ask that your spirit guide us here this morning to understand what you would, so that we would understand what you would have us to know. Lord, that's our prayer. And Lord, my personal prayer is that my words do not get in the way of your truth here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, start verse 16, Luke chapter 8. Jesus is speaking. He says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." Now, put your finger there, because we'll come back to it, but I want to talk about this a little bit. Again, Jesus has just finished this parable of God's word and the sower and the soil. And now Luke is trying to get people to think about and ponder on what Jesus had just said. Okay, and he begins to share some kingdom truths about God's word that Jesus has spoken about. And the first one is this. The first point is this, that the words of Jesus are illuminating. The words of Jesus are illuminating. He says, listen, no one lights a lamp. You don't put a clay jar over it or you put it under a bed. Instead, you put it up on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. The words of Jesus reveal, illuminate truth. Truth about God, truth about ourselves, truth about our world and what's wrong with the world, and then the truth about how to fix it, okay? Whenever I head to bed at night, usually I am the second one. Diana usually goes up a little bit earlier. By the time I get there, often she is asleep. I don't want to be mean and cruel and go in and flip on all the lights so I can see to get into bed. What do? I take my phone and kind of just, you know, have to just tap it a little bit. I don't turn the light on, but that kind of guides me around in my bedroom because Lord knows how many times I've run into the door jamb. Right? You ever do that? Stub your toe on the edge of the bed just because you couldn't see where you were walking. So I use my phone here, right? The words of Jesus helps us to see around the difficulties in the world. It helps us to make better choices. It gives us advice on the things to avoid out in the world. It's what that's the importance of these words of Jesus. If you folks haven't heard yet, my Pittsburgh Steelers lost last week. And they lost badly. They got trounced by the Baltimore Ravens. Thank God it was on a late Saturday night that I didn't have to watch that massacre, okay? But needless to say, they are out of the playoffs and they played poorly. You might say, as the commentators might say, they had been exposed. Okay, the defense was like Baltimore just ran right through Pittsburgh. It's like they had no tough Pittsburgh defense. There was nothing there. Okay, they didn't have a good offense. They were in the playoffs. They really shouldn't have been in the playoffs. They were exposed for the kind of team that they really were. This is another thing about the words of Jesus. They expose sin in our lives. Okay? It helps us to see, whenever we read the words of Jesus, it helps us to see where we fall short. It brings out our character flaws. We can see where maybe we are impatient or unloving or unkind, or it just reveals the sin in our lives. Now listen, that's a good thing. That really is a good thing because at that point, then we can confess this sin and repent of it, knowing that we're forgiven. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can change our lives to become more like Jesus. That's one of the things that the words of Jesus does. The words of Jesus also exposes the sinfulness that's out in the world. Whenever you get the words of Jesus, when the word of God is in our life, it helps us to recognize those worldly attitudes and the philosophies that are out in the world that we might, not even thinking about it, just go along with. Because that's the way we were raised. We might not even think about it. Or it's just the way we were raised. Or somebody that we admire or voted for, political party, whatever. We just kind of go along with them. But you know what? When we read the words of Jesus, all of a sudden, you know, we're just like, whoa, wait a minute. Or something that benefits us financially, we may just overlook. But the words of Jesus are illuminating and can bring that to light where we might say, wait a minute, okay? The words of Jesus, first of all, Luke is showing us they're illuminating. And then he says in verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. I think this verse, we are coming to understand it a lot better in our modern day world where there's like less and less privacy, right? You all understand that. Where there's online cameras everywhere, okay? Where people are asking for more and more of our information. We're always being watched, tracked, cameras everywhere. Your websites are being tracked. Did you know that? You may not have known that, but people know where you go on your website. We just live in this viral age. You put anything up on Facebook or anything like that, guess what? It's there forever. It's just, that's the age that we live in. And so we should understand this verse that Jesus said that, you know, there's going to be a time when nothing is going to be concealed. Everything is going to be out in the open. I think this is the second point that Luke is making that he wants us to understand. And that is this, that you can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. And Jesus is saying, listen, one day that everyone's life is going to be exposed and revealed and everything is out in the open. There's not going to be any two-faced people around here, okay? And so Jesus, in other words, Jesus is saying, listen, you can't fake your relationship with me. You can't just go through the motions of liking certain parts of me. Like there's some things about Jesus that we really like. We like when Jesus says, hey, I'll be with you all the time and you can always come to me and I'm your savior and I'm your ticket to heaven. A lot of times that's how we look at Jesus. But then we can't just say, oh, I like that part of Jesus and then not take seriously his words like he says. We can't come into this place and be nice to people in this place and put money in the offering basket and then go to Walmart or go to our place of business and just act like a jerk. You can't do that, right? You can't be unkind to people. And Jesus says, one day all that is going to be revealed. There's not going to be any two-faced. Right? Sometimes I hear people that will, you know, say, we've all heard this. People say, well, you know, my heart is right. You know, I can't do that, but my heart is right. Jesus knows my heart. And it's almost like Jesus is saying here, hey, man, that's not good enough. It's just not good enough. Jesus is saying, whoever listens and obeys, he's telling us, you can't hide. And so he says in verse 18, look what he says next. Therefore, because of all that, therefore, consider carefully how you are listening. I grew up with a pastor that he always used to say, whenever you see the word therefore, you want to find out what it's there for. Okay, so, well, the reason it's there, he says, because the words of Jesus are illuminating and exposing, and there's not going to be any two-faced, and there's going to be a judgment day. He's telling us, listen, so consider carefully how you are listening to Jesus' words. Because he says, Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Our daughter Kara, as you know, is in Spain, and she's head off in Spain back in the fall to take some graduate school classes to do some museum studies. And she was all excited. We were all excited for all that. And then she was in class. And she was in class for about a week. And then she realized, oh my Spanish is not up to par. And she, you know, been there for a while. She knows Spanish pretty well. She can come here and converse with people, no problem. She can get around in Spain. She's been there for a couple years. That's no problem. But to be in a graduate level class where you've got to write papers and understand deeper concepts, she realized, I'm not going to fool myself here, okay? And so she dropped out, and she is now going to take upper-level Spanish classes starting tomorrow, okay? Which will help her in moving forward, right? She wasn't fooling herself. Here's the third kingdom truth from Luke, and that is this. Don't be fooled. We must listen carefully. Don't be fooled. We must listen carefully. This is, I'll tell you what, sometimes I come across verses in the Bible where I just go, I just pause. Like verse 18 is one of them. Look at what he's saying. Consider carefully how you listen. Whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them. Jesus, what? I mean, he's telling us, don't fool yourselves into thinking that you're saved, but you really don't know the Bible, you really don't know the words of Jesus, and you're not interested in putting them into practice. You're just kind of interested in just keeping going on the way it is. He says, don't fool yourself. Because I run into people from time to time, and you know, in the topic of discussion, and people will say to me, well, I don't know the Bible real well, you know. And my response of to someone in that I want to say, and usually I don't, is, yeah, well, what are you doing to take care of that? I mean, this is what Jesus is saying here. Because that's the way a lot of us live our life. We just give an excuse. So, well, I don't know the Bible real well, so, oh well. So I just go on living my life. But we don't do anything about it. Do you have a daily time every day when you get into the Word of God? Are you going to Bible study where you are learning? I mean, we offer Bible studies here throughout the year, every week. And so one of the things Jesus is saying is that don't fool yourself into thinking that things are okay. If you think your faith is okay because you did some religious things, you do some religious things, or you made a decision way back when you were in eighth grade, Jesus said, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself for this reason. Because as you go through life, chances are you are going to encounter some storms in your life. And you may walk away and abandon your faith. He said, it just may happen. And that's why Jesus says, listen carefully to my words and obey. Now let's look at verse 19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. And someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. And he replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Jesus is saying it again. You know, when this story comes up in the book of Mark and the book of Matthew, this interaction between Jesus and his family, the focus is on Jesus redefining the family. You know, in the kingdom of God, Jesus said, if you become a follower of Jesus, you're part of the family of God. You are a brother or sister in Christ. And that was a radical thing for Jesus to say back then. This would have people's jaws would have dropped, because this is an age where family and heritage and ancestry was of the utmost importance. I mean, that was critically important. And so Jesus kind of turns that on its head and said, no, that's not as important. What's more important is that the brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God are greater than your blood relatives, is what he's saying. That's a big deal. That's a wonderful thing. Right? You think about it, it's a wonderful thing. You come from a dysfunctional family. Good news is that when you're part of the church, you're part of a new loving family. And many of us can attest to the fact that our Christian brothers and sisters are closer than our blood relatives. We can attest to that. Now, that's certainly a point that Jesus is making here. But Luke, notice how Luke takes it further. His focus is that you hear and obey these words of Jesus. And he uses the story of Jesus and his family to drive home his point. Point number four is this. Putting into practice the teachings of Jesus is priority number one. It's priority number one. Reading the Bible, following Jesus' teaching, serving in the kingdom of God, it's not just something that we do. It's not just an extra in our life. It's not just a side dish. This is the entree. This is the most important thing that we can do as followers of Jesus. And so as Luke finishes putting together this section on listening and obeying, he attaches to the end of it a story with Jesus and his disciples. Let's finish up in verse 22. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. And the disciples went and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. And the storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And as Luke finishes this section, there are two big questions about Jesus that Luke wants us to ponder as we've been talking about listening and obeying these words of Jesus. And the first question is the one that Jesus asked his disciples, and that is this: where is your faith? Where is your faith? Good question for us. How would you describe your faith? Is your faith strong enough to weather the storms of life that are going to be thrown at it? We think about people out in California who suddenly and instantly losing their homes. Think about people getting a bad diagnosis from the doctor whose life is just upended. Where is your faith? How would Jesus evaluate your faith? Remember that sometimes we can just say, well, okay, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I go to church, you know, like this. But Jesus seems to be evaluating our faith on how we know and listen and obey his words. How are you doing with that? If you were to evaluate your faith on that, what score would you give yourself from a 1 to 10 there? Just something to think about. Then the second question is the question that the disciples ask in amazement of Jesus calming this storm. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Who is this person, Jesus, to you? How do you look at Jesus? Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your ticket to heaven? Or is Jesus your Lord and your boss? What kind of priority does he evoke in your life? Pastor Ray Ortlund describes our relationship with Jesus like this. He says, you and I are not integrated, unified, whole persons. Our hearts are multi-divided. It's like we have a boardroom in every heart. Imagine a big table, leather chairs, coffee, bottled water, and a whiteboard, and a committee sits around the table in your heart. There's the social self, the private self, the work self, the sexual self, the recreational self, the religious self, and others. And the committee is arguing and debating and voting, constantly agitated and upset. Rarely can they come to a unanimous, wholehearted decision. And we tell ourselves we're this way because we're so busy with so many responsibilities. But the truth is that we're just divided and unfocused, hesitant and unfree. He continues and says, that kind of person can accept Jesus in one of two ways. One way is to invite him onto the committee. You give him a vote too. Give him a seat at the table. But then Jesus becomes just one more complication. The other way to accept Jesus is to say to him, my life isn't working. Please come in and fire my committee, every last one of them. I hand myself over to you. I am your responsibility now. Please run my whole life for me. You see, accepting Jesus is not just adding Jesus. It's also subtracting the idols. Would you bow your heads, please? And I want you to think about that last question. Who is this person, Jesus, to you? How do you look at Jesus in your life? Is he just another committee member? Just another part of your life? Maybe he's just Savior? Or is he chief of staff? Is he Lord and boss? What kind of priority does he hold in your life? As you honestly think about that question, are you ready to make him the boss of your life? Are you really ready to tell God, I'm firing everybody else. I'm going to make Jesus in control. Tell God that. The other question that was raised in our discussion this morning is, where is your faith? Is your faith comprised of just coming to church or just believing in God? Or is your faith just something that you did many years ago? Or is your faith comprised of listening and obeying the words of Jesus? How will you faithfully do that this week? Father God, we thank you for the warnings in Scripture. Sometimes Scripture brings us comfort. Sometimes Scripture brings us invitation. Sometimes Scripture brings us challenge. And so, Lord, for many of us, we are challenged here this morning. So we pray that you would give us courage and strength to make Jesus that priority in our life. Lord, we pray that we might do something different this week. Lord, the whole idea of Jesus as boss makes us really uncomfortable. And so, Lord, would you show us what we need to do? Guide us by your Holy Spirit. May we be people who will listen carefully to the words of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name.